As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Scooch Magooch.
Yeah. You haven't said that one before. That's good.
Scooch Magooch is new. Yeah. That's new, and I like it a lot.
That actually goes with what we were just talking about, the nudist-only bowling night in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't want to...
Scooch Magooch. He's probably leader of the clubhouse.
Scooch Magooch is probably the name of the bowling team that goes to nude bowling in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Well, today's the day. We're probably live on stage.
We're on stage right now.
Time is a flat circle. Yeah, today's the day, but we wanted to make sure that we stopped in quick, did a little Miami Part 2 breakdown.
Yep.
Give the people what they want. Mm-hmm. Miami's been great. Everybody's watching. Everybody's responding very well to Miami, so we got to get our input out there.
I agree. And, you know, a lot of people are asking, where's the ROM recap? Don't worry. We're getting to everything. I know it's a little backed up.
It doesn't matter what we do. It's just there's always a what happened to this and what happened to that. It's like, we're fucking getting there, all right?
Trying, man. But no, we want to give ROM the respect it deserves. It's been a great season. Episode 1 of the reunion was great. Episode 2 was solid. We don't usually have back-to-back good ones, so I'm thrilled.
This one was way more of the what I expected in episode 1.
The over-screaming.
Yeah, people just yelling over. And then Andy gets involved, and they start asking him questions. It was a clusterfuck for a lot of it, but we still got a lot of good points out of it.
That's the thing. There was a lot of clusterfuck moments.
Yep.
But they were able to reel it in at times to give us some solid scenes, some solid input. That's a solid ep. I mean, the fact that Andy could reel it in a little bit and keep us on track, it was a good episode. I'm not used to two good ones. And the lead into episode 3, because we really haven't gotten into Gertie and Larsa. We've dipped the toe in, but we haven't gotten into it. And that was the most captivating thing of the season, at least for me, because it's so dumbfounding that a human being could make it about them when their friend has cancer. We saw a glimpse of it at the end of this episode. So we're geared up for a solid episode 3. If they can give us a three-parter that lands on all three parts, at least above average, that's huge. And it's another cry to the audience from us. I don't understand why more people don't watch this show. I do not understand why their ratings aren't higher.
I think the ratings are fine as far as housewife shows outside of Beverly Hills go.
Mm-mm.
Like, you just can't.
No, it's lower than the other ones. I'm telling you, that doesn't it doesn't track. I don't get it.
Yeah, that doesn't really make any sense because this was wildly entertaining, especially when you match it up against things like Potomac, Atlanta last season. I mean, Salt Lake was really good this season, but that was another one where people were a little pessimistic about it, and rightfully so after season 3. But this has been a really good watch. It's been entertaining.
Yep.
We haven't had one point during the season where we said, okay, let's just get to the end of this. We've had the reunions, but never bad.
Yeah.
And lulls are going to happen. I mean, at some point in time, you're going to get a little tired or whatever might have happened. So this has been pretty consistently good all season. So people do need to watch it.
Yes, you do. And
you sure do.
If you're listening to this on Wednesday morning, we may not have tickets left. We might have a couple left. So go ahead and get a ticket to the show tonight. It's always really weird when we record the day before. I have to speak like it's the day of. But the show's tonight at 7:30. If you're in Philly or in the Northeast in general and you can make it to Philly by 7:30, get yourself a ticket. Come hang out with the bros if there's any left. I think there was like 10 to 15 last time I counted. I think there's one table left of four. So if you want to bring some peeps, there's not a lot of places where you can sit next to each other. There's one table left. Grab that table, but get those tickets ASAP. Also, we have our show in DC at the Union Stage. Tickets are selling well for that, but it's a bigger venue. We need the bros to come out and support their bros. I'm calling out to, we are your
calling bros. Out to the bros.
This is a call out to all of our bros out there. And bro is all encompassing. It's an all encompassing word. It's genderless.
We'll call it a BSA, a bro service announcement.
A broblic service announcement. Oh, broblic's a bad word.
I
do not care for that. It's a bro service announcement. Let's stay with yours.
Wait, hold on. Broblic?
Yeah, like public.
Broblic. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, yeah. Let's stick with mine. Yeah.
I don't like mine.
Yeah, just call it a BSA. Yeah,
it's a BSA. This is a BSA. We need your support. I want to fill that room. I want to pack DC. So please come out and support us in DC, May 3rd, Union Stage. And the last one is
June 14th, Friday night, Boston City Winery. That fucking thing is already sold out, basically.
It's not actually sold out, but it's very close.
Really, just go get your ticket now.
Yes.
Because it's getting to the point where I know that there were people that reached out to us and said, well, you know, I can't make DC. I'm going to get up to Boston. You might not be able to go to either.
No.
So figure it out. Get your Boston tickets now.
Oh, tough love.
Tough love.
Figure it out.
This has to happen. You got to figure it out now. If you don't, you're going to be lost. You're going to be standing outside hoping that you could hear in. You're going to have one of those glasses to the wall. Like you're going to pick up a cup, put it against the wall and try to hear what we're saying. You're going to hear people laughing and you're going to get really sad.
Yeah, that's the scenario that everyone envisions.
Yeah.
You outside with a cup on the wall of the City Winery trying to hear in and you can't.
With the strongest FOMO possible.
Yep.
Yep.
Massive FOMO.
Really sad.
Momo.
That's going to be you if you don't get your ticket right now.
So go get your tickets. The link is in the bio. After today, the links will be in the bio for Boston and DC. I wanted to make sure it was just the Philly show since it's coming up so soon. But tomorrow, shit, today, this is impossible.
It's today, not that impossible, dude. Today.
Don't belittle my experience.
Don't tell me my truth.
Don't you tell me my truth. But regardless, the links will be in the bio today. Now, we have business to discuss now that we got that out of the way, because we have part two of the ROM reunion, and let's just jump right in. I don't have much of a preamble, so you ready?
You got no preamble? No. Saving it for tomorrow? Today? Yeah. Fuck!
Yeah, damn see?
That's God, that happened karma, so bitch. Quickly, too.
How did that feel?
Not good.
How did that karma
Not
sandwich
good.
Feel? Good.
Feel good?
Good. I just want to sit in it
Wait,
for
karma
a second.
What?
Karma sandwich.
Ew.
What's wrong with a karma sandwich?
It sounds gross.
Yeah. Well, it sounds gross because you're eating one right now, buddy.
Grosser. Yeah. What the fuck was that?
It's a YouTube. Ooh. That's a facial, LaFleur. Total facial. Wow, I need to watch Dodgeball. Let's get to ROM. So, oh, I almost forgot. How could I? Because we only have two more left. Bam, Mr. 305.
Golly.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
One. I like that a lot. Yeah. I'm feeling good about today.
All right.
I'm feeling good about tonight.
Tonight.
Too. Anyway, let's get into it. We start out with Lars and Alexi, and they're still arguing in the dressing room. And the funniest thing here is, and I told Shooter before the show, before we started recording this, I'm not going to get all amped up on Lars today. I'm not letting her get under my skin again. I'm not. I will not raise my voice today. I'm staying calm, cool, and
collected. Maybe I will.
I hope so. That'd be a lot of fun.
I got to save my voice for tonight.
Oh, this is so
Keep
confusing.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, no, stop. But Lars is standing by the fact that I don't lie. You said to the group, Alexia, that everyone in here is a liar. Like, that really hurts me. It's like, nobody else took offense to this except for you. We have video footage of you lying throughout the entire season, throughout last season. Like, that's your MO. Everyone knows that you're a liar. It's not a secret anymore. It's out there. So for you to die on this hill is kind of weird, but considering you're going to die on the hill that the cancer diagnosis for Gertie was about you too, this is the least surprising news ever. But we move on from there. We get some very fun dildo talk for a while as the girls are all getting back to the stage. You know, who doesn't like a good dildo conversation?
It always happens with these girls.
It does. They do bring up dildos more than other other housewife
franchises. Just Kiki's bag when they were down in Fort Lauderdale was just full of dildos.
And there's a pinata with dildos.
Yeah, a lot of dildos this year.
See? Huh, yeah. Interesting. Huh. You know, we always talk about the themes of shows. Maybe
this is dildos.
You know, there was Sound Bath year. There was Roaring Twenties party year. There was one more trope that they did for a while, and I guess we're now in the year of the dildo.
Replace their, what do they have in their hands? Mojitos? Replace them with dildos. Yeah, come on.
Jesus Christ.
It's a good visual.
Let's keep going. We get a conversation about Jody and Lisa, and this is when we start to get into Lisa's side of things this season, and I didn't know that the kids thought that Jody was their gay uncle.
That she had mentioned that at one point in time that her son thought that.
I think that
it was just kind of a throwaway line. I was more concerned with the fact that I didn't know Jody was in the room with Marcus.
I didn't care for the fact that they're both standing there like arms like crossed that. Watching this all happen. Like, go away, guys. Go away.
Get the fuck
out of
here.
I don't need them to come out either. Look, I don't need them on stage.
How many times do we hear the women during these reunions like, this is the worst part of the season. I don't want to do it. I have to get dressed up. Even Andy doesn't really want to do it. Why the fuck are you there? What are you doing?
Moral support.
Come on. Moral support. Start drinking, like start boozing a little bit, you know? Have a party.
Have fun back there. Yeah, instead of like standing like idiots staring at the TV screen because you want to hear if they talk shit about you.
You don't know about our love.
Yeah, don't you talk shit about my love. Ugh. But we get into the Lisa Lenny shit that's still going on. We know it's still going on. It's still in the media. We get little tidbits here and there. We don't get as much as we used to get for sure, but there is still some inklings about what's going on, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And we saw the clip of the police getting involved when there was the plant debacle because he's suing for plants and furniture. Let's not gloss over anything. I know we went after Lisa a lot this season, and rightfully so, because she sucked. Lenny's worse, and we know that. Like, I'm not yeah. Lenny's like he's a piece of shit human being, and
it's a little upsetting that we even have to say it.
I know, like we have to clarify.
But Lisa had such a bad season this year, and she was annoying and very selfish. That we have to clarify. By the way, Lenny is still worse.
He's still
but he's not on the screen, so we don't care about him at all.
Right.
But he's still somehow interjecting himself when he's not there. It's just the spirit of Lenny is just kind of floating around.
The spirit of
Lenny,
the massive garbage human that is Lenny.
Demon spirit, yeah.
Right. But, you know, I didn't know that Lisa's mom and her aunt were staying at the house, and Lenny's new chick was walking around in lingerie while they were there before kicking them out of the house. Like, I'm just trying to envision this. How dumb, like, what the fuck? What's the point? What are you trying to prove? Like, oh, I'm going to walk around and be disrespectful
to
her.
I don't think that happened.
I do think that happened. I really do.
I think she could have been walking around like a bathing suit or something, like a bikini.
It doesn't matter.
That, you know how that works.
Scantily clad.
Fair.
Trouncing about the house in front of your ex's mom.
She's very clearly, like, we're going to say this for effect. Like, she's walking around in lingerie with a little robe on. Yeah.
Believe it. With the Instagram pictures that they post together, like, that is the least shocking news ever. I believed it in a heartbeat. I do think she was saving it for this moment, but it's the reunion. You got to bring some ammo.
Got to bring it in.
But anyway, we find out about the house. You know, when the house is built, I guess it's under the kids' names. And there's just a lot of shit that these two need to figure out that I don't think we're ever going to get to the end of it. I think in 5 years, we'll still be discussing this, unfortunately. But we start to dive into Lisa versus everybody this season, because we saw her take a very weird route this year when we were under the impression that she was going to come into this season as the woman scorned by Lenny, which would be a layup. That's the easiest storyline ever. We'll all be on your team. We'll all support you, back you, just like we did last year, watching you go through all that. It doesn't take away from the fact that what you're going through really sucks, and Lenny's a piece of shit, and he's making it much more difficult on yourself. But the behavior that we've seen Lisa exhibit this year is all selfish. She hasn't acknowledged anybody else's problems in the group. She makes everything about herself, and when they're not talking about her or her issues, she checks out of the conversation entirely.
Yeah, and I really loved that they were obviously giving examples of when Lisa has done this, and we've pointed out a few, at least the ones that have really mattered. We did not point out the fact that she went back onto the boat.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, but I do think that that doesn't really matter. But I really do love that she brought up the fact that she had texted Gertie and said, hey, yeah, you know, I'm just checking in, making sure everything's okay. I had to pause it so that I could read the whole thing just to get the full synopsis. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
And I'm reading through it. Like, she reached out and she wanted to make sure that she was okay. Nice. At least she's thinking of other people. Good job. Way to go. Then drops in that she grabbed the lipsticks, and she goes off and says, you thanked me for going and getting your lipstick. Like, that is not the point, Lisa.
It's not.
How clouded is your mind right now by all of this? And we've talked about it the entire year, and it's so fucking frustrating because, again, and we keep coming back to this over and over and over again with all the shitty behavior that we've seen from Lisa and mostly from Larsa, Gertie is cancer.
That's it. Yes. Yes.
Your problems can matter. And Gertie's problems can matter.
Right.
You're allowed to acknowledge both sides.
Mm-hmm.
One side doesn't take more than the other one. You can just go ahead and swap back and forth. But to completely shut the other side out with Gertie having cancer just because your problems are so big and everybody's not understanding how big your problems are is fucking lunacy.
It is, because you're then diminishing cancer. No one's denying that you're in the fight of quote-unquote your life, because this is the biggest thing you've had to go to battle for. We get it. Across the room from you is a woman that had breast cancer. It's literally life or death. That's the difference.
But this was Lisa's opportunity to at least get some sympathy back.
Oh, you think that's what she was trying to do?
No, she didn't.
No, not at all.
She didn't even try, really.
No, she buried herself.
She could have apologized and said, look, obviously my behavior was erratic because of what I was going through. And yes, maybe I was shitty to my friends and specifically to Gertie, especially when we saw that at Marisol's house where she just walked out. She's like, well, I really know how to clear a room. Like, you are so tone deaf. It's insane. You could have gotten anything back, because people will give you grace. because of what we already just said, Lenny is still worse than you.
Yes.
He's a terrible person. So if you apologize, all is really forgiven, honestly.
I think that...
for what you're in right now and the shit that you're in, if you just apologized, everything would have been forgiven and everybody would have been like, all right, cool. Glad you see it our way, finally. And she didn't take that opportunity, which is so crazy because that's low-hanging fruit. Like, who the fuck is in your corner? Who's in your ear? Who's your PR team that's not helping you through this? It's insane.
Larsa.
Yeah, oh, God.
Larsa's her PR team. Oh, she's in her ear the whole time. But the whole group kind of highlights what the problem was with Lisa's approach this year. I don't think that she was going through it and not thinking about her kids. I'm sure that they were at the forefront of her mind. But when you go back and watch these scenes, that is not how it's articulated. She brings up the kids, yeah, but 90% of the shit she's complaining about is all material things. And Alexia points that out. Like, you're materialistic. Your arguments and fights have been over material things. Gertie points out, I know you're fighting for your kids. They're both healthy and safe. And she's like up in arms. She's going back at Gertie like, I'm fighting. This is about my kids. It's not about the money. It's like, yeah, but that got lost along the way. We didn't see that from you because you got so hung up on the details about the house. You got hung up on the details about the car. You decided to embarrass your housekeeper by borrowing her car to make it look like you are poor, which has no regard for your poor housekeeper as to see her car getting mocked on TV. This is the issue. You're not highlighting the right things. You're highlighting materials. That's the issue the whole group has. And this is the problem with Lisa's fight against Lenny or how she portrays it. Because if she had more wherewithal in the moment to be like, oh, I get it. Like, hey, Gertie, my bad. I didn't mean to overstep. However, can you acknowledge that this is the biggest fight of my life?
Yeah.
That's so much easier.
I think that would have been a lot easier. And I think the reason why, and like we've been bashing Lisa because of her behavior the entire time, the reason why we don't have remorse and we don't have that second thought where we say, look, she's going through a lot, so her behavior can be like this and she gets an excuse, is because she still has the mental capacity to do things like that, to drive her housekeeper's car, to make jokes about stuff like that, to talk about people like you're spending specifically. We're not even talking about Lenny anymore. We're talking about other things that like you are unable to focus on what really matters. And at the end of the day, like if you just talked about Lenny the entire time, would it be annoying? Yes. But maybe people would have figured that out. It's all the other shitty things that you did along the way.
Yes.
That's why we're not giving you an excuse for your behavior.
Correct. And that's why you fell in the rankings this season. But we get into the Anna drama, you know, at the Mamacita brunch. And we find out, I didn't know this, that Marisol's mom actually passed away on Mother's Day. So she was looking forward to this event because she's a stepmom now and she was getting excited for it. And she wanted to go and celebrate Mother's Day. Adriana, being Adriana, has to point out, it's not the real Mother's Day. That's not the point. You don't have to, like, clarify that that's not actually the day your mom died. Like, what a weird fucking thing to say. Even for her, I was like, whoa. Like,
that's the thing, though. Like, yes, I do understand where people are thinking, Adriana does goofy, dumb shit all the time, and maybe people can look at that and say she did things to keep it light and keep it funny, and everything she does is crazy. This was vindictive.
That was weird, yeah.
This was exactly what I'm talking about, where it's everything that she does is either a look at me moment, which is, you know, the poem that we saw in the first part, or...
You forgot about
the fucking poem? How do you forget about the poem? And you're laughing again? All's forgiven now because of the poem?
No.
God damn it.
No, this moment still
sucks. No, this moment sucks. When she's sitting there and Marisol... This is the first time, by the way, that we've really seen Marisol have an emotional conversation.
Break down.
She was breaking down. She's talking about her mother passing. She's talking about how Mother's Day is very special for her. Not very special for her, but something that she has never really
it's
felt
an important
for.
Day for her.
Yeah, because she's a stepmother and she's not included in things like that, or at least, you know, as much as her friends are. And there's a lot going on. And she starts crying. We don't see Marisol cry.
No.
Marisol doesn't fucking cry. What does Adriana say immediately?
Crocodile tears.
Fuck you, Adriana.
Brutal.
That's brutal.
It's a tough scene.
All she cares about is the look at me moments with the fucking poem. And she has this huge vendetta against Marisol and Alexia. So every move that she makes is either to go after them or to have the camera look at her. That's why I don't like her. She doesn't bring anything to the goddamn show. You didn't even bring this up, and I'm still heated about
pointing.
This. I'm pointing.
You're finger gunning all over the room.
Finger gunning all over the place, and you're not seeing shit if you're not watching YouTube, finger gunning everywhere.
Pew, pew. That's why they call him Shooter.
Yeah, enough Adriana. I'm done with her. She can go away forever.
Well, we start to discuss Anna and how that whole situation came about. These are some of the things in the universe of Housewives and Bravo, we're never really going to know what happened, where everybody stood, what the relationships were or weren't before this, because we get conflicting reports where there was a charity event last year, and at the charity event, I guess everybody had made good and everyone was on the same page and everybody was happy. So relationships were at least like mended slightly.
Yeah.
But then we hear also that shit fell apart before that. Like that was before the reunion.
I was very confused.
There was too much info and it didn't all track. So like that's once again, one of the faux pas of these shows is like, it's she said, and we don't really know because we weren't there. But Andy brings something up and points out that is Nicole as innocent as she claims to be, because this seemed a little bit shady. And I think that this is where Nicole plays the game really well.
Yep.
Because I do think she's shady.
Absolutely.
I think she covers it up very well.
Yeah, we talked about it. That's what actually leads to the confusion, because most people on these shows don't cover it up that well.
No.
Like, we can tell right away when they're lying, and Nicole, we can't.
No, she's good at it.
We talked about it for a couple of weeks because it kept getting brought up because Alexi wouldn't let it go, and she has this thing against Nicole, which we'll get to. And we could not tell if Nicole knew anything.
No.
And I still do think, in my heart of hearts, Nicole knew exactly what she was doing.
I do too.
I think that Adriana was behind it originally, but once the idea was brought to Nicole, she said, yeah, this is good for the show, which it is.
It's good for the show, and this is easy to hide behind Adriana because she is...
Which didn't work at the time, which was the most confusing thing in the world.
I know.
But yeah.
They saw through it.
That wasn't
them seeing through it. That was their bias against Nicole.
I think it was partially their bias against Nicole. And I also think that halfway through the season, you could kind of see a shift where Marisol and Alexia just stopped caring about Adriana.
Oh, yeah.
It was like after the whole fartulence thing
in the
bus on the way to the basketball game. They just stopped giving a shit about Adriana and the things that she was doing, which worked. And it was kind of funny. But they didn't care, and I think we kind of missed that originally. But now looking back, hindsight, 2020,
maybe that's why they were so much better this year, is because they didn't get caught up in like
all of Adriana's bullshit
every single episode. That's actually an astute observation
there,
Magoots. But Nicole points out to Alexia and to Marisol, like, you guys have had it in for me since day one. You guys have had a boner for me, which is really funny.
I think she started off by saying you had a hard on for me.
You had a hard on.
Then she doubled down by saying boner.
Yeah.
Which is just funny. Under any context, you say the word boner, it's great.
It's always a funny word. And she's like, you need to go to the bathroom and clap one out. I was like, oh, damn, they're going to go catch a beat in the bathroom.
Clap one out.
Do you take daily vitamins?
I do.
Do you like them?
Not really.
Why?
It's just the process of having to wake up in the morning and remember one more thing of taking a handful of pills.
Yeah, dude, it drives me nuts. Like, I try to take, like, different things. Like, for my hair, I try to take different things for, like, my liver support, my circulation. Like, I have, like, 15 different things that I try to take, and I forget at least one of them daily. And you know me, I forget things on the reg.
Oh, yeah.
So I was trying to find a solution, like, something that was a little bit easier to take. And let me tell you about AG1 real quick. Because with AG1, it's one scoop and you get all of your daily vitamins. It's much easier, it's much quicker, and it tastes great. And with just that one scoop, it covers all my nutrient gaps, it supports my mental and my physical health, and it takes like maybe a minute, like at most like 60 seconds.
Sounds efficient.
It's super efficient.
Love that.
And it gives me all of the vitamins and support that I need. It helps me focus, it helps my energy, and it just makes it much easier to maintain that daily habit instead of trying to sort through 15 bottles that I bought from CVS or something, or some random Instagram post. Like, oh, I'll try this. AG1 makes it simple.
How does it make you feel?
Since drinking AG1 daily, I've felt stronger, I've felt more focused, more energized. Not only does AG1 deliver my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more, but it's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. If you want to take ownership of your health this year, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/bravbros. That's drinkag1.com/bravbros.
I want to ask you a question.
Shoot.
What do you do when you're shopping online?
I buy too many things, and then I forget what I bought, and then it shows up, and I don't need it.
Well, that's the wrong answer. The right answer is you jump to the reviews because you want to see what people are talking about, and you want to see how good a product is. That's what I do. I always go right to the reviews. I want to take a look and see what other people that are buying similar products are saying about something that I might want to buy, you know?
That's a much better plan than my move.
Yeah, that's definitely a good plan. Well, here at Bowl & Branch, they do all the hard work for you. And in a recent customer survey, 96% said that Boll & Branch sheets, they get softer with every wash.
Guess what? I can attest to this because we got our Boll & Branch sheets. They genuinely get softer. This is not like just me trying to plug. They do get softer with each wash. When I go to bed at night, it's like a nice, you know, like a five star. You get like a Ritz hotel for like a staycation. You slide into that bad boy. That's the level we're talking here.
It's incredible. Honestly, I got my Bowl and Branch sheets, and I look forward to going to bed every night because I know I'm going to be comfy, I'm going to be cozy, and I'm going to go right to sleep.
Some would say they're buttery. I love that adjective for them because it's like, imagine sliding into like a pallet of butter without like getting butter on you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's a really good one. I mean, I feel the exact same way. I get excited about that. And I honestly want to wash my sheets more and more, but I have to stop myself because I know every time that I wash them, they're going to get a little softer and I look forward to it. And I try to make sure that I don't do it too much, you know? You can sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Bowl & Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code BROVBROS at BowlAndBranch.com. That's Bowl & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, Branch.com. Promo code BROVBROS. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It gets even more confusing. And I don't, was this after the brunch? Like immediately after we get a video of Nicole, Lisa, and Marisol?
Yep. That is directly after that brunch.
But that, this is where like Marisol's credibility falters because she will stand and die on a certain hill, but more evidence comes out. I think that Marisol just is a shitster, and I think that that is her MO. I think that's what she likes to do. I think she gets caught sometimes, but that's the other thing about Marisol. She always gets through it pretty much unscathed. Like, she'll have a moment. People go after a little bit, but her alliance with Alexia, it, like, solidifies that they will never be at the bad end of, like, they don't get their ass kicked by the other women.
No, they really don't, and I was a little confused, too, because we know... I think this was on the heels of coming back from Fort Lauderdale where Marisol and Nicole pseudo made up. And I think that's why Marisol was pissed off when she found out that Anna was there, because she had just squashed things with Nicole. And now all of a sudden Nicole's pulling this. Rightfully so. That's fair. But then she went out to lunch with them afterwards and Alexia didn't know about it. And I think that's really funny. And that kind of brings us back to where we were in the middle of the season, where we were talking about how Marisol and Alexia aren't teaming up to go after people as much. They're not doing as much... at least as much active nuisance-y? Is that a good one?
Is that our word?
I like
is
that.
Is that our Webster nuisance-y word?
Yeah. Nuisance-y. I've been trying to think of new ones. But anyway, yeah. So we haven't seen them actively go against anybody, at least for the majority of the season. And that actually led to them having a much better season, at least from the viewer's perspective. So Alexia not knowing the Marisol was there after all of that. Now, they did come back.
Yeah.
We'll at least say that. It's not like they left and then Marisol left her house and met up with them afterwards to go right. Talk about it. That would have been even funnier, I think. But they did come back, so I don't really think it's that big of a deal. It's just showing you, and we're going to see this in the next episode, showing you that there's a bit of a wedge developing between Marisol and Alexia. And I want to see where that goes, and I'm really interested in seeing where that goes because they were so inseparable last year to the point where they would never disagree with each other. And we saw a little bit of it this year. If we go a completely different direction next year, that's going to be pretty entertaining, I think.
It would be entertaining. I just don't know if they'll ever have a wedge big enough to cause problems. But that being said, I never expected to see them go tit for tat this year, and they did. So we could see that next year. It's interesting. Anytime you see alliances break down, especially one that tight, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. But that's when we get to Julia. And primarily the shit that happened between her and Lisa, because we had a scene where Lisa stands up and like yells at her and says, "You have three baby daddies," in regards to her kids. And in response to that, Julia made a post online and said a bunch of things about Lisa, and Lisa had a big issue with that. But if you go back throughout the season and Julia's behavior in general, what they said last episode does ring true. Julia, when she brings things to the group, it might be shit-stirring, yes, but it's usually true. She's not one to throw a random rumor out there and see what happens. She usually at least believes that it's true before she brings it to the group. She doesn't just bring up some tabloid that she read and say, "Hey, did you guys hear about this?"
Yeah, she's not going through her DMs and just getting random things sent to her and then putting it out to the group like some people actually a lot of people on this show do.
Yeah, but Lisa's biggest problem was like, "We have an open line of communication. Why wouldn't you come to me?" And it's like, well, she hadn't noticed that you said that until she watched the episode back. It went right over her head. We come to find out when this scene ends, because these two go back and forth and Lisa's like, "I need an apology from you. I need an apology from you." And that's, side note here, the issue with the left side of the room, primarily Larsa and Lisa. They demand apologies. They need apologies to feel like they are in the right in some way, shape, or form, instead of looking at these scenarios and being like, "Wow, we kind of sucked this year, huh? I challenged somebody that had cancer. Lisa, I made everything about me. I disregarded everybody else's feelings. Watching that back, if they took the initiative, in my opinion at least, if they took the initiative and said, hey, we're sorry for our part in this, not even our part, we're sorry for the things we did. And then there is an open bridge for the other person, such as Julia, to be like, hey, I was in a weird place, so I just lashed out online. I said some things. You know me. I didn't mean it maliciously. It was poorly worded. I love you. I'm sorry. And we do get that scene immediately after this when they're in the dressing room. And Julia says to her, like, I am sorry. I didn't mean to say the things that I said. They came out wrong. I always want to be cool with you. And I love that Julia didn't apologize on stage in front of everybody. She took the time to go into her room and actually have a conversation with Lisa, make it more personal, and explain to her where the animosity came from, because somebody had sent her pictures of Vika, V-I-K-A.
I think so, yeah.
Is her daughter, and they were sending her pictures of her. And amongst those pictures, there was also a picture of her son, Max, which was a mistake. It wasn't meant to be sent to her, and that caused God knows what kind of emotions in her. So that, on top of the fact that she just heard Lisa say, you have three baby daddies, so she's already in her feels. Here's one of her friends say that, and that's the first time she recognized what Lisa actually said. So she lashed out online. Not unfounded, not something that we haven't seen on these shows before, and something that I would imagine Lisa would do in return. So where I see Lisa getting upset, sure, I thought it was weird once again to demand an apology from Julia.
Yeah, it is really weird to demand an apology. And I had mixed feelings about the apology itself, because we're on this show, we're on the reunion. This is when things are supposed to get settled.
Yeah.
So at first, when Julia had gone to Lisa's room, I thought it was kind of fake. Like, you could have just done this on stage, whatever. But when I really think about it, in the moment, if she had validated Lisa while she's yelling at her saying, hey, give me an apology, in front of the group, it makes Julia look weak.
Lisa wins. Yep.
Going to her privately, even though the cameras are still there, even though we're obviously still in the reunion and we're still going to see all of this, going to her privately is different because you let the emotions kind of boil down a little bit. You have a little bit of time to sit on it. Lisa, thankfully, didn't go back to the room and start ranting and raving about how Julia is a bitch and she did all these things. She decided to kind of calm down a little bit, if you will. And Julia went in, explained her side of it, and gave her a heartfelt apology. I think that's a way that, and this is something that you can really only do with Julia because she is very real.
Yeah, she is.
And she shows us so much and she has such a wide range of emotions that she can actually convey through a TV show, which is really impossible to do. Going and doing it like this, I thought, was the most genuine way to do it. And I think it caught Lisa off guard because we didn't see, and obviously, you know, you bring up your son who passed away a long time ago, and this is a whole fucking thing. Lisa's still got a heart at some point. She's still a mother, so she's not going to lash out still. I think it caught her completely off guard, and I think it got to the point where, yes, you can accept the apology, and now we actually officially squashed it. Something that we probably won't bring back up ever again.
No.
Which is good. We want things like that.
We like when that happens, but I would actually, I don't know, I had a little bit of a different take. I do think it caught her off guard, but I also, in this scene, I'm like, you know what? If people do, and look, it's a housewife show, so you're not going to get people having one-on-ones very often to squash things and having like adult conversations.
Well, you will, but they're not going to be genuine apologies.
Right. But I do think that when Lisa is surrounded by the group and you approach her with an issue, and she has said this in the past and I kind of brushed it off, but watching this scene, I think that she immediately enters defense mode when there's more than one woman around in the group. I think
she has an image to uphold or something.
But when you get her one-on-one, like in this scene where there's not yelling, they're having a conversation, she's able to retain what Julia is saying to her and process it and actually have a conversation. So I'm actually going to give Lisa a little bit of credit here and say that maybe if she is approached in a certain way, we wouldn't see these big scenes where she starts to defend herself, she gets overwhelmed and starts saying the wrong thing. I don't want to give her too much credit, but I think that we did see something here where it's like, okay, well, maybe this is how you approach Lisa if you want to get to an actual settlement.
I think it was mother to mother. I really
do.
That's what it was. Because if you can try to convey to Lisa or get down to the level of, hey, I know you're a mother and you're a good mother, that's enough for Lisa.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end of the day, Lisa is a good mom. So I think that was, you know, the biggest issue with what Julia said, which at the time, I didn't really think it was that bad, but it's a little shitty.
Yeah, it's a little shitty. So I'm glad that they were able to squash it. But We get to Gertie and Gertie's journey throughout this season that we've all bared witness to, which was a remarkable story to watch. And she highlights why it was important for her to do this. And we've gotten some shitty comments where people had the balls to like lash out at us for the Larsa video that I posted and say, well, Gertie shouldn't be on the show if she's battling this and that. It's like, shut the fuck up. Because by doing this, it's exactly what she intended to do. She said that she wanted to share her journey to show people that you can still have a life, that you can get through this process. And she wanted to show the resiliency that she had and to show the insight to her family life with Russell being supportive. And just to go along this journey with her was really powerful, to see her get through it and come out the other side and her being so open and vulnerable, allowing us into the room while she's shaving her head. That scene will forever live in my mind. That was such an emotionally touching scene and something that we're not party to in most TV shows, to see something so real. So this is a very awesome thing for her to be strong enough to do and share with us. So I'm glad that she was able to do that throughout the season, and she had Russell along the way. Watching him and her interact was amazing. But we do find out that when the cameras turned off during one of her chemo sessions, she actually went into toxic shock. So this has been a difficult journey, more so than just the two surgeries, the emotional trauma that comes with it, everything that she has battled, and she kicked the shit out of cancer, and it's fucking awesome. And you would think that her sitting there talking about all of this stuff and opening up and sharing how amazing this journey was, that Larsa, especially after watching the season, seeing all the backlash, she would at least, in this one instance, take her head out of her ass and acknowledge it, and just fucking apologize and say, I was wrong. I can't believe I'd ever question you in this. What an idiot I am. No, that's not what happens. And, like, of course I should have known that.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you were expecting. She's never shown any ounce of remorse. She's a terrible fucking person. She's a complete piece of shit.
Yeah, I know.
So why did you think that she was going to show anything?
Because
what is with you in thinking that people are always good? Huh?
I am an optimist, and also, like, I've explained this to you. I've explained it on the podcast. The things in this world that make me angrier or more frustrated than anything else in this world is when I can't apply logic to a situation. When I can't logically understand how somebody's brain is functioning, I get irritated. Such as, this is a cancer diagnosis. How the fuck could you make it about yourself? How are you not concerned about your friend?
Well, I can break it down for you if you want to.
I would love that, because I don't have the energy today.
All right, so there's this girl named Larsa, right? She's a complete and utter piece of fucking garbage. She's an absolute piece of shit. She's maybe the worst person in all of Housewives.
Yeah.
By far, at least at this point. I mean, she's worse than Tom Sandoval. She is a fucking garbage
level. She's on the level.
No, she's worse.
You think?
I think she's fucking worse.
Wow.
You can't do that. You can't belittle a friend, let alone anything else. You can't belittle a friend's cancer diagnosis.
You can't belittle an enemy's cancer diagnosis. Like, if you hate the person, I still don't think there's grounds to, like...
Again, you are thinking that people are good.
People are good. They're not inherently bad. People are not inherently bad.
Okay. That's a discussion for a different day. But she is awful. Yeah. And for you to think that she would have any semblance of any remorse is insane to me.
Don't you
she
call me insane?
She has never shown anything to say the otherwise. It's ridiculous. I mean, she is so in her own fucking ass. She is so in her own head about her own image, what she's going through. The only time that we saw her with any sort of cause for concern was when Michael fucking Jordan laughed about her relationship.
That's
the only time that she ever shut the fuck up. The rest of the time, she's pushing her own agenda. She's always pushing her own thoughts. Whatever Larsa thinks is going on is what's going on in Larsa's world. We've seen that time and time again. So apparently we need Michael fucking Jordan to come down and tell Larsa, hey, your friend's got cancer. Shut the fuck up. And she might shut the fuck up.
I'll DM him.
We should DM Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
we'll get him out there. We'll go ahead and do that. Her sitting there and talking about this and talking about the first conversation, which is, I'm so happy we finally got into it, about the cancer diagnosis and her immediate reaction. And I loved the question that Andy read from one of the fans saying, do you think that was not the best idea?
He said, when someone tells you they have cancer, don't say, how do you know?
And she Did you see a reaction on her face?
She got defensive instantly.
Instantly.
Instantly defensive. She started.
Well, how am I supposed to know? Like, bro. Stop doubling down. Just stop. And
she
this is what.
Quadrupled down.
There's no chance in hell that Larsa went back and watched this season. I think she picks and chooses different scenes, and she only wants to watch the happy times, and she has to be on the camera at that point in time. That's how up her own ass she is. She doesn't care about anybody else's lives. She doesn't care about anybody else's storylines. She's just going to watch the scenes that she's in. And not the ones with Gertie where people are bashing her online. She's going to watch the fun stuff. That's
the fun stuff.
She probably just went back and rewatched her and Marcus doing the goddamn podcast.
I bet she just has a montage of like.
I guarantee she does. And she had somebody cut it and they put it out as an ad.
Separation anxiety.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. No, she's a terrible person. So for her to sit there and say, I thought that when you told me not to tell people that you meant social media. Well, that's all you need to know about Larsa.
That's a really good
point. That is how this works. Okay. So here's social media, Larsa. Here's the real world. Which one do you live in? Oh, yeah, you sell feet pics on the other one, so yeah, fuck off.
That's where you are.
You weirdo.
100%. You're right. It's just I always hold out hope for people, but we get to the point of her telling everybody else, as you just said. My understanding was, don't play the semantics game.
Nobody gives
here.
A shit what your understanding no. is. You have the brain of a fucking 10-year-old.
But she's saying, I wanted to tell people so that they rallied around you and showed you love. Gertie points out, you didn't tell my friends. You told your friends. I don't know them. She's like, they're great people. Irrelevant. Irrelevant to the situation. It has nothing to do with it. They are not Gertie's friends. She doesn't need their support. She doesn't need randos coming up and saying, hey, Larsa said that you had cancer. We're so sorry. That's not a good situation. What she needs is to tell people on her own timeline when she's comfortable to share with the group, because even telling you, Larsa, that was forced because you were being a dickhead while she was going through something, trying to get through to you because you're so upset that she said you're the fakest one in the group, which, hello, you are. Let's rewatch all the clips from this season. You are fake as shit. You say one thing and do another. So that is the definition of being a fake person. She just highlighted what is true, and you kept arguing and arguing and arguing. And as Gertie said, she's in a very dark place here, so eventually it just came out. Like, when I rewatched it, that's the first time I realized, like, oh, I don't know if... I know she went into that planning on telling her she had cancer. I think that it just came out because she was so frustrated. She's like, dude, I have fucking cancer, and, like, we're yelling.
1,000%. That's exactly how it went. She had a much better idea as to how she's going to broach the subject, and Larsa didn't let her get there because she frustrated her to the point that she had to blurt it out. The big thing from this exchange entirely for me... is Gertie had fucking cancer and she still showed up well prepared
damn
to
right.
go after Larsa.
Damn right.
That is crazy. That is awesome.
That is mental fortitude.
That is some fucking
finest.
Mental fortitude for sure. Larsa didn't come up for anything.
No.
She is not prepared.
It's so funny
but
when
you know what the thing is? God. She is so delusional that she's talking herself into the fact that she's already winning. That's what's the worst part. Like, she's sitting there and she's smiling back because she thinks that she's winning. She thinks that people are on her side. Nobody's on your side.
No.
Nobody's on your
except
side.
Marcus, who has his arms crossed, and Marcus sucks too now. So fuck
yeah,
that
fuck
guy.
That dude. Like, Jesus Christ. I hope he gets pushed out of the will.
Somebody commented like on our Twitter thing, and they were like, these guys would never say this to Marcus. I was like, fucking bring him on the podcast. I'll say this to his face. I don't give two fucks.
Yeah, you think I'm afraid about a failed D1 basketball player? Yeah,
about Nepo, yeah, maybe?
No,
I'm
I don't
good.
Give a shit.
We'll say this to his face. We don't
give
a shit. Would
have been D3 if his dad wasn't Michael Jordan.
Heyo. But back to the show. Andy asks her, do you think this is the easiest one? This is the layup of all layups, okay? This is a 6-foot rim with a 7-foot dude that just needs to drop the ball. This is Wemby going on a 6-foot rim. Okay?
Sports.
All you have to say right now, Andy teed it up for you. Do you owe her an apology? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. Period. So simple. So easy. What does Larsa say? I've apologized 35,000 times.
That's a lot.
Crazy number. And Gertie points out, no, you didn't. This is the hill that you're dying on over and
I
over
thought
again.
People said 12 when they were talking
yeah.
about numbers.
What the fuck happened to 12? Where did 12 go? It was 12 last week. What are we doing here?
Kyle assured me that people say 12 when
yes.
confronted about a random number.
Hills. It's 12. But 35,000 times she apologized, Gertie highlights, no, this is what you keep saying. You say that you've apologized and refuse to apologize again. You've never actually said sorry. We haven't seen it. And I don't imagine that behind closed doors or off camera, you've said it to her either. I think that you keep saying that you did, and you keep trying to justify your shitty actions throughout the entire season rather than take any ownership.
What do you
any
think
ownership at all?
What do you think Larsa does off camera? I think that she just has a charging station. What? She just goes over and just stands in the corner, just charges back up, and they're like, "All right, cameras are on." She comes back out.
No, I think she takes feet pics and hangs out with
Marcus on camera.
Jordan all
that's
day.
Still on camera.
I think
when there's no cameras around, I think that she charges up.
She just charges, yep. Gets ready for the day, gets ready for the cameras. I don't fucking know. I don't understand her. It drives me crazy, but it melts down. They start going back and forth, which, again, is crazy. And Gertie said it at the beginning of this segment. She says what we're all thinking. I have fucking cancer. Like,
it is this, so stupid.
It's so crazy that we have to sit here and do this so every dumb, week dude. When we talk about Miami. It's like, this is so obvious
but
to
this
everybody.
Why is nobody talking up?
I said that last week. I don't know.
Because I could actually see Gertie saying, look, this is my fight. I want to go after her. And other people recognizing that and respecting it. But at the same time, how do you not stand there while this is going on and start yelling at Larsa?
I don't know.
How is nobody doing it?
We watched it all season. Anytime this shit popped off.
Stone-faced across the board. Or like, yeah, you see like Marisol and Kiki are kind of
reacting.
But nobody's saying anything. Nobody's speaking up on Gertie's behalf. And it's fucking insane.
It's crazy to me.
I don't know what's going on. Something's in the water down in Miami.
I had a problem with it the whole season. I didn't understand why in any of these scenes with Larsa, nobody came to Gertie's defense.
Are they afraid? Does it go back to the fact that Larsa's threatened to release things to the press?
It could be.
And people are just afraid of going at Larsa because she's unhinged and she'll tell the press what's going on.
But if her ammo is that people are doing drugs at a wedding, like, okay. They're doing cocaine at a wedding in Miami? No.
Not Miami.
Not Miami.
Come on.
What do you mean? Not a bunch of rich people doing cocaine at a wedding in Miami? Like,
that's crazy.
I thought that the caterers provided it. Like, what are we talking about here? We're adults. We can say this out loud. Like, what the fuck?
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna. That's DANA on your podcast app.
It's, I don't know. I'm looking forward to next week because I think that Gertie's going to eat her lunch and I really hope that's what happens, and I hope that there is a piece of humble pie for Larsa Pippen waiting somewhere in the future. I don't see it happening because she'll never accept defeat.
No.
If she doesn't bend the knee to somebody battling cancer, there is no redemption. You don't have a moment to come back from this. This was your chance. Andy said, do you want to apologize? I already did. 35,000 times, man. I ain't doing it again. Like, fuck. It's genuinely frustrating. It hurts my head. It hurts my brain. But I'm looking forward to episode 3. And if they can do it, if they can pull off a 3-parter, all landing, this is going to be one of the better seasons of Housewives this year. Arguably the best season that I've seen. It was the most consistent.
It was the most consistent season.
But let's get to some questions. Up first, from female-owned film, how can anyone stand Lisa anymore? This has been a horrible season.
Bunch of idiots.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that here's the thing with Lisa. She has not gone too far on the villain side of things that she can't come back next season and fix things.
She'll still be on the show for sure.
I know.
I just don't understand the people that are defending her online.
I don't either. And their argument is that she's going through a lot. And yes, we acknowledge that. We're not taking away from her battle. And I think and I hope that she can watch this season back and maybe as the divorce stuff starts to settle down a little bit, we might see a different side of Lisa next year, maybe get into more stuff with her and Jody. I'm curious about that relationship without discussing Lenny.
She's still going to be discussing Lenny, though.
But that's my point. Like, maybe there. Look, she's not too far gone, is my point. She's
no,
not
I don't gone. Think Lisa is. I think Lisa, and look, I mean, she's going to battle with Lenny for years to come, but eventually she's going to get tired of dealing with it, or at least tired of talking about it all the time. So there's still hope for Lisa.
That's what I mean.
There's no hope for Larsa as a good human being.
No, she's done.
She's way gone.
But the thing that sucks, she's good for the show. I'll admit that.
Oh, yeah, she's great for the show.
And I'll always admit that. but she stinks as a human. Oh, here you go. From Shafera 717. Who's worse, Larsa or Sandoval?
Larsa.
I think I'm on your team here. I think I agree. Yeah. From Angel Renee. This is my first season watching ROM. Are Larsa and Lisa always like this?
Larsa is.
Yes. Lisa, no. We've had a different Lisa from season to season. I think that she was under the impression that her Lenny stuff would be able to carry her through this season, and instead it wore thin, not only with the group, but with the viewers, especially when she made it about herself. From Christy Jed Licky, who has a frequent questioner. Thank you for asking another one. Is there any way that Larsa and Gertie can move forward after Larsa's horrible behavior? I would say no, but I do know that Gertie has a huge heart, and I also don't think that she's one to harbor negative feelings. So I think that it all hinges upon whether or not Larsa can have a moment where she says, hey, I'm sorry. And I don't know if that'll ever happen.
I don't know if it'll ever happen or if she'll sort of do it. Larsa's a trickster. Like, she'll find a way to kind of weasel her way through and still be okay, or at least in the good graces of some people. So I think we're going to see them mingle a bit next year. But
yeah,
and it might be somewhat casual, but I don't think that they'll ever actually be friends.
No, because there needs to be a...
Gertie will never trust her with any news ever again.
Well, she didn't before that. That was a test, and Larsa failed miserably. Then people online are like, why would you test somebody with cancer? Because you have to know if your friend's a piece of shit or not. It's the perfect time to do that. Hey, here's massive news I don't want to share with anybody. Don't tell anybody. You told all of your friends. You told all of your friends that I don't know. What a weird fucking move. But whatever. Yeah. See, I stayed calm.
You did.
I stayed calm. I laughed. Laughed a lot.
Had some laughter.
Giggled. You got a little heated. That was fun to watch.
Yep.
But, yeah, looking forward to next week's episode. I guess that's tomorrow. It'll be going while we're on stage.
It's on Thursday.
Oh, it is on Thursday? Yeah. Beverly Hills tomorrow?
Yep.
Okay. Or today. Fuck.
Yeah, we already did it.
Anyway, if you're still listening and you haven't gotten tickets to our show tonight and you want to check and see if there's still a couple left, scoop those tickets up. Come hang out with us. City Winery. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 7:30, but it's a bar. So if you want to go hang out there at like 4 o'clock and get lit before the show, by all means, just, you know, keep it down during the show. Okay, just
keep it down during the show. Maybe don't.
Well, but I mean, appropriate times, get amped up.
Only when Steele points to the crowd and says, right?
Right. Yeah. You guys, you'll learn that move. It works. That gets the people going.
Yeah,
right?
It works.
Right, guys? You hated it, but it worked every time. But yeah, and then keep an eye out on our socials for our two other shows coming up and the ticket links. That is DC May 3rd on a Friday night at the Union Stage, and then June 14th, that is also a Friday night in Boston. As Shooter said earlier, not a lot of tickets left to that one, and it is months away, so that will sell out. So get your tickets now so you don't miss out. And a reminder about the DC one, I want to fill that bitch up. So please bring your friends, bring anybody, bring your bros. We'll trick them into liking Bravo for you, so you'll have a Brav bro of your own. That's our promise to you. If you bring a dude that you want to watch Bravo with, we will turn him. We'll get him on board. And if we don't, I'll reimburse your ticket.
All right, just calm the fuck down.
I can't promise that. That's not true.
That's not up to us.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't make those decisions.
Yeah.
But you got anything else?
Oh, see you tonight.
See you tonight. Brav bros are out of here.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.